Many here remember the family show of the 1970s that ended with a darkened house at the end of the day, a few lights on, and the voiceover said, "Good night, John Boy." This was the TV drama called The Waltons, a show set in the Depression period of 1933 through 1946. It was a warm and cozy story of John Walton Sr., his wife Olivia, their seven children, and John's parents, Zeb and Esther. It's a story based on the values of hospitality and compassion and generosity, of a family community taking care of each other through those hard economic times. Its stories were gentle and heartwarming and depicted the goodness in humanity that came from making the right choices. Helping others was the norm. The family was the source of strength for everyone because of the integrity of its values. Going to church was a natural part of family life. Now fast forward 40 years, give or take. Modern Family is one of the latest ventures in television's depiction of the stereotypical North American family. Briefly, for those that don't know it, an American dad, Jay, is divorced and remarries a much younger Colombian woman with her own child, Mandy. And then they have another one together. American dad has two grown children with families of their own. The eldest son and his stressed wife have three suburban children, and the youngest son is gay and just married, and this couple recently adopted a Korean daughter. They don't go to church. In fact, the character Jay says one day, "I've dumped church." And his stepson Manny says, "I like what you said about God being in nature," and then joins him for a round of golf. The depiction of the modern family in this series is one of a multi-ethnic, gay and straight, divorced and blended, and multi-aged family. Technology plays a huge part in their relationships. There is wit and cynicism, and as members of this family are trying to make all of this diversity work. Now, how did we get from the Waltons to Modern Family? The North American family has gone through tremendous changes in the last 50 years or so. The 1960s liberation of women's sexual expression meant that one didn't need to wait for marriage to have sex. Now there were options. Along with the sexual revolution, the pill offered even more choices to women and men, and the women could then choose perhaps a career with, before, or after children. In Canada, the no-fault divorce law was introduced in 1985. Which offered the opportunity to not stay in a marriage that wasn't working for you. And that bounced the divorce rates up for the next 15 years. Men began to stretch out of their working straitjacket, wanting to become more involved in the lives of their children. Immigrant populations changed cultural balances, which increased interracial and interfaith marriages. The marriage laws changed, allowing same-sex families to form and adopt children or have their own. Families no longer ate dinner at the same time, no longer went to church together. Computers replaced the typewriter. The TV replaced family outings. The cell phone forced instant accessibility and deepened alienation for everyone. My take. Touché. There really is no point comparing the Waltons to the modern family. They're quite different, except in a sort of happy, middle-of-the-road conservativeness. They are families who basically get along, and we sit or sigh watching it as it is familiar to us. So what can I tell you that might be useful about families? I have to say, it's a rich and complex topic. So I started by asking myself, what do I know about families. Well, I know that families can be wonderful, the best, and I know that families can be terrible, the worst. The family experience can tear you down, or it can hold you together. And my guess that is that in this room, if we listen to everyone's family story, we could write a book that covers the spectrum from wonderful to terrible. And some of us might say that in their experience of family, there was both the horrible and the amazing. So why family? Well, family exists as an economic unit for survival because it's easier to have more than one person to do what it needs to be done to put food on the table and roof over our heads. I also know that families are way more than a handy economic step up. Families are emotional systems that are designed to teach us about life and living and who we are and how we learn and grow. They're hothouses growing beautiful flowers. I think of our families of origin as our first learning module. Every one of us enters this world as a whole and wonderful human being. Perfection. Regardless if you were lucky enough to have six toes or a small hole in your heart, you were still perfection. We began with everything we needed. Everything that we needed for this life ahead. And then we encountered the family environment. For some, this too was perfection, filled with love and food and warmth and safety. For others, maybe what we needed wasn't available to us. Perhaps those in charge of our care were unable to provide what we needed. Here's where the variety in our family experiences starts to go in so many directions, and where I need to step back and look at a picture of family from a broader point of view. I think our family experience is the richness out of which we create ourselves. And whether your family was horrible or amazing or a bit of both, the experiences that you had are yours to use as you choose. So, what has your experience of family been teaching you? What kind of person have you made of yourself? There are people who have had horrible family experiences, little love, little food, little safety. Experiences that if they were all added up, you would think that person would be miserable, cruel, lonely, bitter, any number of unhappinesses. Yet this is not always the case. I can think of a man that I taught many years ago who was the only son of a prostitute and had grown up on the streets of the downtown East Side. Hardly raised at all. Ended up running quite wild. Spent many years in juvenile jail. When I knew him, he was a powerfully built man. Huge muscles. Not a lot of education, but boy, was he determined to make a good life for himself. He was respectful, focused, honest, and a hard worker. Another person I met once who was thrown out of her home at 15 and lived on the streets of downtown Vancouver in abandoned warehouses, but kept going to school, graduated from high school, went on to raise a family of her own, and got herself a master's degree or two. And then there are those who have had all the love and care anyone needs, and they wither on the branch. So what did your family experience teach you? And how are you using those lessons? Sometimes we spend our whole lives learning the lessons of life provided by our families. Perhaps we're still learning to be respectful to others and to ourselves because our family, in our family of origin, we learned about disrespect. Perhaps we are still learning to trust ourselves and others because in our families we learned how to be careful or suspicious, or we learned to never say what we really wanted because it just wasn't safe to do so. And it sure takes a long time to relearn trust. Perhaps we are still learning to use our voices and to say what we really mean, because in our families we learn to be quiet, to shut up. Perhaps we are still learning to love our bodies and care for them as a loving parent would care for them, because as a child someone forgot we needed to be held and comforted. They forgot, perhaps, that we needed encouragement to run and jump and dance. And perhaps we are learning as parents now, or grandparents, that we can improve our family life by providing what we know is needed. We can teach to others the best that we've learned. For the lessons of our children and our grandchildren will not be the same lessons that we had, and they will have their own family experiences. The family, however you define it for yourself, is the crucible for becoming, for growing up. It's an alchemical process of learning. Into this crucible, you put one part self-awareness, two parts unconsciousness, three unmet needs, one really toxic person, four intentions, a lifetime of painful and joyful experiences, a dash of hope, a sprinkle of determination, and then you heat it up until all those elements start intermingling. And then you heat it up some more until it starts to form you. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we can blame our mothers and our fathers for what they did or didn't do to us. We can blame our culture for what it lacks or has too much of. We can wish it had been different, but the reality is, I believe, that we came into this world absolutely perfect, and then stuff happened. And it happened, and it's done. It is the experience with which we work to learn from, grow in self-awareness, maybe even, perhaps, grow in some wisdom. Now, I've been talking about our family of origin, the family that you were born into or adopted into. And I experienced that there's a different kind of family, another kind of family. And that is the one that we choose along our path. We choose people to create our extended family or family of choice because in some way we believe that they make our lives better. We get thrown together sometimes. We find them in places like trains traveling across Europe or classrooms in universities where we learn about 18th century philosophers and talk all night. Or perhaps we discover each other when we take our children to a playground the same time every week. That's how I met my best friend and soul sister and the person who my children call their second mom and whose children call me their second mom. Sheila and I shared our motherhood together, some of our professional lives, and created an extended family that was more than just mine or just hers. Our families share Christmases together and holidays. We have combined family rituals, and our children have grown up together like sisters and brothers. This week I got a book out of the library by Wayne Choi. It was his new memoir called Not Yet, You may know him because or heard of his first book, The Jade Peony, that won the Trillium Book Award in 1995. Now, Wei Sun Choi never married or had a significant partner. But recently, when he ended up in a close-to-death situation, dozens of people came to the hospital to be with them, with him. And they all said, when the nurses asked, "But we're his family." And this completely confused the nurses, because there were very few Asian people in the groups of people that came and said they were his family. And Wei Sun Choi is obviously an Asian fan. You see, he created family throughout his life in many different ways. As a young graduate student on his first job to save money on accommodation, he moved in with two friends who had two small children. The children grew up with Wei Sun, accepted him without any effort as daddy number two. This is when I worry about the tape and how people hear this all over the world. Yes. Okay. Later in his life, Wei Sun had another friend, Carl, and his new wife, Marie. And all three of them got together and bought a house because it was economically advantageous for both of them, all three of them. When Wei Sun's father came to live with them, Carl built an extra bathroom for him. And Marie was trusted, like no one else, in cutting Father Choi's toenails. Now, I know these are intimate details, and you probably don't want to hear about them, but isn't that what family's about? Taking care of those kinds of things. And we expect and hope for our family of origin to be the people that cut our toenails when we become ancient and unable to reach down that far. But sometimes it's the family that we have chosen in our life that has the honor to do that. Well, of course, in this family, they didn't do too much fighting, but there were a few fights between Carl and Wei Sun. One that was particularly memorable, and when the smoke cleared, Katie playfully told them to kiss and make up. Well, Marie and Carl had a daughter named Katie, and Wei Sun became her godfather. And when she was a teenager, entirely fed up with her parents, Wei Sun stepped in to try to help. He went up to her bedroom door and said, "You really should be able to listen." And she yelled at him, "You're just like them all. You don't understand me." Which he took to be a badge of being a member of this family. And they were still living together 20 years later when Katie moved out of the house to go to university. These were some of Wayne Choi's family who arrived at the hospital when he was close to death. He didn't die, by the way. He wrote the book. It's obvious he survived. So family of origin, family of choice, a Walton's classic, or modern family. Families are our classrooms. What is your family teaching you? And how are you doing with the lesson? It's one step at a time. And as I said before, sometimes we spend our whole lives working on the lessons.